Welcome to Because I Want to Know, the podcast where I interview guests about their crazy, unique occupations or life experiences. I'm your host, Leslie Fear. So let's get into it, shall we? Hey everyone, today I'm joined with my friend Ginger. She went by Ginger Witch with me before on our podcast, and she's kind of changed her name up a little bit. Ginger Red Apple Witch. She's a psychic. She's a channeler. She's an energy worker. She astral travels. She remote views. She's fascinating. And I have the opportunity to talk to her today. So welcome back, Ginger.
Thank you. I really am excited to be here.
I know. We were talking earlier and I was just discussing some things with her and we both really agreed on something. But what I really wanted to talk to you about too is not too long ago, you and I were discussing just Akashic Records because you can kind of go into those too, which is amazing. And well, I told you I've always been interested in like the time of the Tudors. I've always loved that era before it was popular to love that era. I always have. And I don't know, I think we were voicemailing each other and you're like, do you have any pull toward Anne of Cleves? I'm not sure how the conversation went, but I was like, I don't know. And then you're like, let me tell you what I found. So tell me what you're doing when you do that. Let's talk about it a little bit and we'll tell my listeners what you found.
Okay. We decided to do a reading with you so that you would kind of have a firsthand knowledge of what I'm doing yes. for your podcast listeners.
Yes.
And so when I'm doing a reading with somebody, talking on the phone with them, like I am with you now, yeah. I become kind of energetically linked and I tap into their energy. And from there, once we're connected, I can kind of take my mind to the Akashic Records yeah. and I will ask, you know, I would like to see the Akashic Records for Leslie Fear or whomever I'm speaking with.
Right.
And lots of people, when they view Akashic Records, they see a library with books.
Yeah.
But they really present themselves in a manner that the person viewing them is going to be able to kind of vibe with them better.
Yeah.
So when I see them, I see like a big, huge touch screen in front of me and it's scrolling through pictures like your photo album wow. and it's scrolling through lifetimes and something will inevitably pop out, like somebody's life, that specific timeline will pop out and get my attention.
Okay.
And I saw this woman, I saw what she was wearing and kind of where she lived and what she was doing. And from there, I can kind of communicate with her a little bit.
Yeah.
And I was describing this to you and it was fascinating. And then we both ended up, you know, looking up, doing research and we were like, hey, this fits.
Yes.
Yeah. And then I go back into the Akashic Records and I tap into that life again and communicate with that person. And she confirmed for me that, yes, she was Anne of Cleves. So it sounds sensational or yeah. fantastic.
Yeah.
And everybody's like, well, why is everybody always somebody famous? Well, somebody has to be those people. Somebody has to be those people. Right?
Hey, Anne of Cleves didn't get her head chopped off, so I'm one, the only one that didn't get the head chopped off. But what you found, and real quick, guys, the Akashic Records are really just, it's like the Hall of Knowledge, I think, something like that, on the other side that she's able to go in and connect with and see people's past lives, you know, whatever she sees or whatever she's allowed to see. Because I know for the first time you went in for me, I was kind of protected. They didn't want to show you anything, right?
Right. I had to ask for permission and tell them, hey, she sent me here.
Yeah.
I have permission. Go ahead and check with her. And they did. They checked and then they let me in.
Wow. That is so crazy. Because you're like, they were not letting me in at first. And I thought that was just so crazy. But very interesting. So when we were talking about Anne of Cleves, I was like, well, yeah, I know all about Anne of Cleves. She was his fourth wife. And they married after his third wife died in childbirth. Or right after childbirth, and he just needed to have a wife again. And long story short, he was not attracted to her. And they decided, instead of her giving him a problem and making herself a problem for him, like a lot of his other wives had in the past, she agreed to just get divorced or get it annulled. And he gave her riches and houses, and she lived, you know, a pretty good life right after that. She didn't live real long, because back then no one did. But she did pretty well for herself. And then you said something that blew my mind, because why we're talking about Anne of Cleves is you said, you were probably either her in a past life or you share soul knowledge, right?
It's not sharing soul knowledge. It's that past lives aren't really in the past.
Right.
They're different timelines. Yes. Everything is happening all at once.
Okay.
So to say that I was this person in a past life, well, it's not that you were that person. You share a soul.
Okay.
So you're kind of like cousins or siblings.
And I didn't know that was possible. I didn't know, but we're all connected. So it totally makes sense that, so is she kind of part of my higher self? And so we're just, I'm a sliver of my higher self, even though we're all slivers of God. Ultimately, there's always a higher self that's always on the other side. That's a combination of all the souls you've ever been. So is that what she is for me? Like a combination, like a sliver of my soul?
Think of your soul as kind of like a multifaceted gemstone.
Mm, okay.
Like a really big crystal with lots of different sides, facets, because they form naturally that way.
Okay.
And so each facet would be a lifetime or an experience. Mm. So they're all part of the whole soul, even though they have their own face.
Okay. And
that makes sense.
Yes. And that, you know, when you were talking to me about her and bringing her up, I was like, and I don't think you really knew that much about.
I didn't.
Yeah. And then when she said, she goes, well, I'm getting the name Anne, and everybody's name was Anne or Jane back then, you know, and I'm like, or Sarah. And I was just like, what is going on? And then you were like, wait a minute. And then you described her, and then you said Anne of Cleves. I don't know if you got that or you Googled it. You probably, I don't know how you got it. Do you remember?
I got the name Anne, and I got that she lived on this beautiful estate.
Yeah.
And that she went there willingly, and she was taken care of, and she received a place of honor from the royal court at the time. And she was taken care of, and it turns out that Anne of Cleves, she agreed to the divorce, so Henry set her up in style for the rest of her life. And she lived on this estate, and she had multiple properties, I think.
She did.
From what it feels like.
Yeah.
But I'm seeing this big, huge, lovely English garden courtyard kind of thing is when I see her. And then I see inside the home that's just actually very beautiful. And she took care of a child.
Mm-hmm.
She played nanny to a child, and that child happened to be Elizabeth
First. Yes. And that's something I don't think you knew at the time. I think you probably looked some things up afterward, but you got all of that without even...
I looked stuff up afterwards to always confirm what I'm getting and to see, hey, am I just crazy or what? No, it actually fit. So.
Yes. And it was, I mean, guys, it was amazing how she was able to pick this up, truly not knowing anything. Because Anne of Cleves is probably one of the lesser known wives because she wasn't controversial, because she let him do what he wanted, and she didn't get her head chopped off. So she's not important. She's not fun. She's not somebody we want to hear about. So it makes sense that she didn't really know that much about her. And when she said that to me, I was like, holy crap.
Yeah, Anne of Cleves was a brilliant one. She knew exactly how to stay alive.
She did. She knew exactly how to stay alive. I know. I don't think she really wanted to do it in the first place either. But see, that's what I'm so enthralled by this too. But also, you and I were having a conversation, you and me, Ginger, were having a conversation this morning about, I've heard people, psychic mediums, not like yourself, I know you're more of a psychic channeler, but I've heard psychic mediums say, when we reincarnate, we can't go backwards, we only go forward in this timeline, we don't ever go back. And I think that's a bunch of bull crap. I don't feel that that's innately what we do. I think we reincarnate to whatever time period serves our soul the best. Do you agree?
Well, with my belief that everything is happening all at once, like when you visit a past life, it's happening now.
I agree.
But right now in this particular timeline, I could never come back to this timeline. I could never go backwards. I always have to go forward is what they kind of say. And I'm like, I don't think that's right.
I think you absolutely can. You can go anywhere you want.
Yeah.
When you pass on, you go to what I refer to as the viewing room, which is like the entrance of the Akashic Records.
Yeah.
And you review the last life. They kind of look at this screen or book or whatever it is that you want to look at. And they say, pick a scene, pick something to look at.
Right.
And you review your life and you get to see the impact that you made on people and how you made people feel. And you get to see that there's no judgment. Yes, I made all these mistakes, but it was all in the name of experience and creation and learning. And there is karma, but karma is not a punishment reward system. It's about learning lessons and what are you going to do with that?
Right. I agree with you on that. I don't know if I buy into the, well, watch out for karma, you know, because the universe is neutral. Yeah. You know, I mean, we're not here to do good or bad things. We're here just to do and see what happens and report back. And what'd you learn? I mean, that's literally what we're here for.
Yeah, bad things happen to good people, and I'm not at any point ever going to say it all happens for a reason.
No.
Because bad things do happen to good people sometimes, and we don't see the bigger picture, and sometimes you just have to learn.
Yes.
You have to learn, and you have to grow, and you have to advance spiritually, and it could be that what you went through, that's the reason you are who you
exactly.
are today, and that could be a good thing.
Right.
Well, and I talked about this on the podcast before. Some people come here to, you know, have bad things happen to them. Some people come here to experience things that are not great, or we wouldn't have as much issues here. If everything was rainbows and butterflies, what would be the purpose? So with
being human on Earth, it's a masterclass.
Yes.
To quote Bashar. Okay. Yes. It's a masterclass. We line up and we come here because this, it's not the bad place,
no.
but it's getting your PhD yeah. in spirituality.
Yes.
And everything we do and everything we experience and everything we create expands the universe.
Yes.
So we're here out of love to expand the universe for Source.
It's funny you just said expand the universe, because my mother, and I don't know if you heard the solo episode I talked about this on, my mom said to me, she said, the reason we experience life in the first place and go back and, you know, we add all of our knowledge to the collective consciousness once we get up there, right? And for soul evolution. But when you add all of that information you gained in a lifetime to the collective consciousness, that's how the universe expands. That's why it is expanding. Yes, my mother told me that, and I didn't even understand exactly what she meant. And then I started thinking about what scientists say about the universe expanding. And I'm like, that's what she's talking about.
Yes, because every time you create energy,
yes.
no matter what kind of energy it is, that energy has to go somewhere. So that's how the universe expands.
Yes.
And we decided to come here and do this human thing out of love for Source.
Yes.
To expand on the universe and expand on Source. And, I mean, we're just really amazing creatures, and we don't even know. We haven't even scratched the surface of what we do.
I know. I'm over here thinking I know a lot of the stuff. I don't know half. I don't know a quarter of it. I don't even know any of it compared to what is really, really, truly happening here, you know?
Yeah. But going back, so yes, when you pass on and you view the Akashic Records and you're viewing your previous life, and then you can decide where you want to go next. Mm. What do you want to do next?
Yeah.
And you can at that time decide, well, this is what I want to learn. And it could be that, and I'm getting this information right now in real time,
of
course. It could be that what you want to expand upon, what you want to learn, the lessons you want to learn, the things you want to do. It could be that the perfect time for that would have been in the 17th century.
Right.
So it could be go back to that life and experience that at that time.
Because it's all available to us because it's all happening now. So that's what I mean.
Exactly.
Everything, everywhere, all at once.
Yeah. Didn't they make a movie about that?
They did. And I think I watched it, but I don't remember it.
But it is so true. So, you know, it's funny. And don't get me wrong. I think anything is possible because some people come here to experience like not having religion in their life. Some people come here to experience being a pastor, or some people come to experience deconstructing. Some people come to be a politician, whatever it is. But then some people understand that they can make a difference in a whole different way. And that's how, of course, we learn. I mean, that's obvious. But while we're talking about a little bit of the politics, one of your videos, girl, you were talking about, well, I asked you to, and you made a video about it. I said, can you remote view the White House? And you were like, yeah, let me try. And then you made a video. Do you remember everything you said?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because that wasn't my first trip to the White House.
Oh.
First time I went to the White House was about a year and a half ago.
Really?
And I wasn't able to get in because it was so well protected.
Okay.
And I was immediately bounced out. And then the second time I went, I just went to the yard, the front yard,
yeah.
and I did a bunch of land healing because it was absolutely, the energy was horrifying.
Oh, wow.
That place is literally built upon the souls of enslaved and marginalized people.
I,
I don't.
That's how they keep their power, is by crushing marginalized people. Oh. And it's so weird to feel and to think about. So myself and my sister, who actually does a lot of what I do, mm-hmm. we met there in spirit, and we did a lot of land clearing and released a lot of that energy. So now I can come and go from there freely.
And you know what, Ginger, before you keep going, I have a question, because you said it's protected. Do you think that once our president took down that east wing, do you think that may have compromised the ability for it to protect itself a little?
No, I think it's the breakdown of the powers that be. Things are crumbling from within.
Okay.
And it's like a house of cards, not having anything to do with the TV show, but it's like a house of cards just crumbling mm-hmm. little by little. If you can envision it in your mind,
yeah.
It's like the walls are falling and crumbling, and it's like an old ruin now,
yeah.
energetically. And so as the protections break down, you're able to do more.
Right. So tell my listeners what you found inside. Okay.
So I popped in. At first I astral traveled in, and I was like, do I need to remote view this? Can I astral travel?
Tell us the difference between astral traveling and remote view for the listeners.
Astral traveling is when you can actually take your energetic body, your spirit, to another location and sometimes another time.
Okay.
And things can be tactile. Like, I can usually feel my feet on the ground. If it's a dirt ground, I can feel the dirt under my feet.
Okay.
You can touch things, you can feel things, you can smell things.
Okay.
When you're remote viewing, it's kind of like looking through one of those viewfinders when you were a kid.
Okay.
Or binoculars, and like you're peeking your head through a curtain or blinds.
So it's a little less,
You can see what's going on, but you're not actually there.
Okay. So you astral traveled. Okay.
Yes, I astral traveled there. And it's also funny, you have to be careful when you're astral traveling, because people will often think you're a ghost.
Yes, we talked about that the last time.
To clock you being there.
Yeah, they think you're a ghost.
I have a theory that a lot of the ghosts that we see are actually people astral traveling.
Like I said, I think anything's possible. I think you're absolutely right. I think ghosts can be so many different kinds of things. So absolutely, totally believe you there. So tell me more about this astral travel to the White House.
Okay, so I went and I popped in immediately to, it was like a tunnel system.
Mm.
I wasn't in the residences or the offices or anything like that.
Okay.
But I went to the tunnel system, which is below ground, I believe.
Okay.
It felt like it was below ground, like it was utility tunnels for maintenance or tunnels that would have been taken by servants.
Yes.
And housekeepers and whatnot,
right.
From wing to wing, or, you know, because servants and enslaved people are supposed to be out of sight. So they would have taken those routes. So I'm down there,
yeah.
And I'm seeing all of these servants, housekeepers, and whatnot going by just doing their work. And I was like, they're not ghosts. Mm. I'm seeing their timelines. They're actually working.
Wow.
In whatever timeline that they're in.
Okay.
So I was like, okay, so that's them doing their thing. And I continued to look around. And then I saw the spirits of a lot of old white men.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think I saw Benjamin Franklin. And somebody in my video was like, hey, Benjamin Franklin was never a president. And I'm like, I know, but he was the founding father, right?
So he was there a little bit, yeah.
Even though he actually died before the White House was completed,
yeah.
I kind of get the feeling that he might want to hang out at the hub of the place that he helped create,
sure.
The country that he helped create. So I didn't speak to him, but I'm pretty sure it was Benjamin Franklin.
Okay.
And I saw a bunch of others that looked like they may have been founding fathers or presidents from, you know, the 19th century and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And then I saw George Washington. And I was like, dude,
talk to me, get over here.
What is up? And it turns out that George was the guardian. He's the guardian of the White House.
Yes.
And so he's like, hi, how are you? He's very formal.
Yeah.
And he's like, what can I tell you? And I said, well, this is what I do. I come to these places and I want to know if there's a message that you have for people.
Yeah.
Anything you want someone to know. Anything I need to learn or do,
yeah,
let's discuss.
Yeah.
And I asked him, I said, what is your take? Because this is the question you wanted me to ask.
Yeah.
I said, what is your take on the current political climate in the United States about what's going on. And he said, I really don't care for the current administration. Mm. However, the real issue isn't the current administration, but it's how we got to this current administration.
Gotcha. That makes sense.
He says, the real disappointment is that the Constitution is not being used as it was intended. Mm. When we wrote the Constitution, it was originally designed to be a living, breathing document that was supposed to be adjusted and essentially restructured and rewritten about every generation or so.
Okay.
Because we knew that people and politics would change over time.
Yeah.
We knew that technology would change. We knew that industry would change.
Yeah.
And things would grow. And we wanted future generations to be able to raise it like a child.
Mm.
And keep it current.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that it takes care of the country and the people, because it was supposed to be for the people, and to keep those in charge from being able to become corrupt.
Mm.
And that has unfortunately happened now.
Right. Yes.
So if the Constitution had been taken care of as it was intended, we don't believe we would be where we are today.
Oh, wow. No, I... Listen, he got a big point right there, because if they intended on it to evolve with the times and the industry and our technology and all those things, of course they should have. I don't know if they put it in some kind of clause, guys, revise this. I don't, obviously they didn't, but you would think.
Because I've never read it in its entirety, or at least not since I was in grade school.
Yeah, exactly.
So I don't remember.
Yeah.
The way it was written in the 1700s, you would think that that would be something automatic, you know, that people that are that high up within those kinds of positions in our government would know, guys, we probably should revise this, still keep the theme, still keep the guide of this, but change it for the better for everyone. And it just kept everything repressed, I think.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. The patriarchy has used it. They've used it as a crutch to keep people in control.
Yeah, yeah.
The same way they use Christianity. And so it's kind of become Christian nationalism.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
They're using the Constitution to justify their Christian nationalism, which is basically unconstitutional.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't even make sense. So yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Wow.
Doublethink.
Did he say anything else to you, like give you some hope? I think he talked to you about something to kind of look forward to.
He talked to me about slavery. He said that he was very glad to see that we are moving toward a society of equality and equity.
Mm.
He says, we, at the time, because he had slaves, he and his wife both, at the time, we as humans weren't advanced enough spiritually or energetically to fully understand that people are people and they should be treated as such.
Like empathy.
Empathy and understanding that African people are not chattel.
Right.
They are not property, and people cannot be property. And he said, like, logically, you can understand that at the time, but energetically, they weren't advanced enough to really understand and get it.
Yeah, you have to evolve.
If that makes sense for anybody. And he said, I understand this isn't an excuse. I'm not making excuses.
Mm.
And I'm very, very sorry that it was the way it was and that I partook in that.
Mm.
He said, all I can do now is apologize and tell people that I am very happy that things are moving in the correct direction.
Oh, really? So he thinks they are moving in the right direction now.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah.
Nice.
This corrupt government that we have is, it's like a blemish on the energy. And as old energy needs to rise up and leave,
mm-hmm.
so that we can advance spiritually and energetically, the muck rises to the top.
Okay.
So it's the patriarchy's last dying breath. They're in a death rattle right now.
Okay.
And they're panicking. So the more they panic, the worse they try. And it looks really, really bad on the surface, but things are coming from underneath.
Wow.
And you do kind of have a prediction on that. Do you have kind of more of a timeline? That's hard to say. I know it's hard to define, but are you kind of energetically getting something about how this could change for us for the better of this year, next year?
Yeah.
Okay.
And without saying too much so that I don't get the government on my doorstep, questioning me.
Yeah.
I feel that sometime between the first or second week in September and around Thanksgiving, and I know that's, you know, like a couple months span,
right?
But I believe that there will be a major event that will happen during that time. And there's going to be a period of adjustment as the government panics and decides what they're going to try to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be like the final collapse.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's going to be like the final collapse. And people are going to first panic. And then somebody's going to come up with a plan and say, this is what we're going to do. And there will be, you know, emergency elections. And I think there's going to be like a council.
Oh.
Like the whole government's going to be restructured, I think.
That would be good news for us.
Or they're going to start restructuring. Mm. And I think this started like a year ago. I think the ball started rolling about a year ago.
Wow. Okay.
And it's coming to a head now.
That's good because, you know, I've had astrologers on and they're telling me, oh, it's not going to get better till 2033 and we're going to be in this horrible state and buckle up. And I'm just thinking, and you and I were talking about this morning, Ginger, and I was just like, what do you think about that? Because that doesn't resonate with me. Let me tell you guys why. I think when someone's chart is in front of an astrologer, they can say, yep, this is why you're this way. And this is, and they can read you like a book, right? No problems. Easy to do.
But you can't use it to predict. It's not a tool for divination.
It's not. And I'm not saying you can't see the same cycles, the same patterns. I'm not saying that because I think that's absolutely something you can watch. But the future ultimately is unknowable. What you just told me right now, it's still something that could change, even though you and I've talked about it, because free will, timelines can change. And that's easy to say. And that's way to excuse everything if we're not right. But it's just how it happens. It's just how it works.
Yeah, this is true. Exactly. And the way this works, and I like to explain this to people when they always ask me about what's going to happen in the future, or when is this going to happen, or am I going to get this, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And I tell people, okay, so imagine you have a big grab bag of goodies in front of you.
Yeah.
Like a Halloween candy bag.
Okay.
And inside that Halloween candy bag, each piece of candy is a different timeline. So you have decided, you've made this one decision this morning to take a different route to work or school. And so you grab this different piece of candy than you would have over here had you taken a regular route.
That's true.
So that changes your future. It could be that you met somebody different when you stopped at the gas station, or that you avoided an accident.
Right.
And people call that, what is that, the burnt toast theory or something now, or toaster
yes,
theory?
I think so, yeah. So
It used to be called the butterfly effect.
Yes, yes. It's true.
We used to call it the butterfly effect, but every decision you make changes your timeline. And we jump timelines multiple times a day. You just don't realize.
I agree, we do. So, but you've had this feeling for about a year, off and on, I think mostly on, about this kind of coming to a head and maybe a kind of council thing where we may have to restructure some things. You've had that feeling for a while, haven't you?
Yeah. Last year you asked me and I said, something's going to happen now. I said, but it's not going to make much of a difference for another year.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what that was that happened. I don't know if it was an energy change, a timeline shift. I don't know what it was, but I'm getting before Thanksgiving. Those are the words I keep hearing, before Thanksgiving.
And the energy is still there for it to possibly happen.
Yeah. I think there's going to be an adjustment period and then a restructuring period. And it's going to seem like big upheaval for a while.
Okay.
But everything is exactly where it should be.
Right.
And I'm calling 2027 the year of reconstruction.
Oh, nice. Because, you know, people are kind of worried about them possibly using nuclear weapons. And I would think that the aliens or ETs would say, no, we're not doing that.
No, they won't allow that to happen.
Okay. Because I was just like, guys, we got to calm down. I mean, we've got to stop this. This is it's already horrible and people are dying all over the place. And we have things that people, it's just awful.
Let me clarify one thing. The aliens are not coming to fix things for us.
No.
Like my mom said something the other day, tell them to get down here and fix this. And I'm like, we have to fix ourselves.
Right.
That's not why they're here.
But they will stop something catastrophic
from happening.
They are here and they're already around the globe making small moments of contact with people to get us used to it, to get us used to full contact disclosure.
Okay.
So some people see them, some people don't. Well, you know, it depends on who you are.
Yeah.
But my point is they're not here to fix it. However, like you said, if something catastrophic is going to happen, like some idiot pushes the red button,
yeah,
they will energetically stop that.
Yeah. And I think they already have a couple times.
Yeah. I was meditating last week and I got a big giant flash. And I wasn't sure if it was like an asteroid flash or a nuclear flash, but there was some kind of event that I visited in some timeline that was catastrophic for the planet.
Wow.
And we switched timelines in time to avoid it.
And do you think the ETs had something to do with that?
Quite possibly. Because, I'm getting a yes.
Yes, because, you know, they're from different, I think they're from different dimensions. I don't think they're from our dimension. I think they can lower their frequency enough for us to see them here and there. But that's probably why we don't see them all the time, is because they're not in our dimension.
I mean, the interdimensional thing is possible.
Yeah.
Lots of them do have the capability of traveling between dimensions.
Yeah.
The fact that we can't see them, that they're incorporeal,
yes,
is because their vibration is that much higher. Mm. They don't really need a body anymore.
Right.
But they can, like you said, lower their frequency so that we can see them and communicate with them.
Right.
Like if we were to go back and visit 2,000 years ago, 3,000 years ago,
yeah,
they probably wouldn't be able to see us because the energy is different.
Oh,
We're vibrating at a higher energy than they were back then.
Oh, wow. Okay. No, that makes sense. Okay. Wow.
So it would be very similar to how we would view some aliens.
I tell you, you know, listen, I don't mind if they want to come and just make us all become one, because we would stop fighting with each other and go, oh my gosh. But then I was talking to last week with a former CIA, and she said, you know, the reason they're not really disclosing a lot of stuff about ETs right now, because we're not ready, and people are going to do really dumb things, and they're going to shoot up in the sky at it, and they're going to try to do all these things that would hurt us, because they're trying to hurt them because they're afraid and they're not ready. So like you said, they're trying to come in our dreams, or maybe come however, just by certain people that see them, and get us used to them so that we don't freak out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love talking to you about this. This is amazing.
It's exposure therapy.
It really is. And I love the fact that you still see a way out for us, but in a positive way that maybe everyone can benefit from, because we're all suffering, and I don't care who you voted for or didn't, and how you think and how, whatever, we are all in this together. We are all one, experiencing life for the collective consciousness. Whether you're here for good or even for bad, you're still important here.
Exactly. And what people need to learn now is, because there's a lot of people steeped in their misery and suffering and worry, absolute worry for the planet.
Yeah.
And I want message from Yeshua.
Okay.
Yeshua says to please understand that everything will be okay. If it's not okay, it's not over yet.
Okay. Oh, nice.
Please, when you find yourself worrying and steeped in stress and anxiety, please think of something you're grateful for. Mm. Think of something you want. Think of something that's positive, and focus on what you want and release those negative thoughts, because everything will be okay.
Yes. Like, get on a higher frequency.
You don't have to worry. If you can't do anything about it right now, don't worry about it right now. Think of something positive.
Well, no, you're right.
The more positive thoughts you put out,
yes,
the higher the energy is.
That's exactly right.
And the faster it'll change.
Thank you, Yeshua, for telling us that, because, you know, you may not be able to do anything about the war or whatever, or what's going on in the administration, but I can certainly spread the love through a podcast. You can certainly spread the love while you're talking to me. Somebody may have a beautiful family and they could spread the love just within their family. You are raising the vibration just from the love of your family.
Exactly.
Girl, I could talk to you about this all day. I mean, I'm right. And, you know, it's a good message. And guys, we're going to get through this. And I've talked to you about this on the solo episodes. Just remember, you know, you can rub your hands together and say unity, peace, love, respect, and make a ball with your hands like you're holding the earth, and just swish it out into the universe. The amount of good energy you're putting out into the universe for everyone, it's amazing what you can do for healing, and it changes the vibration. And sometimes good things can come when we don't even expect it, you know?
And this is going to blow somebody's mind. When you're doing that, creating that ball of energy that you push out, you are drawing in energy directly from source and then spreading that love. And you can do that as much as you want.
Yeah. I mean, you really
because
can.
You are a co-creator, because we are all source.
We're all source. That's exactly right. I mean, I'm outside talking to my trees, telling them everything that's going on. And I said, listen, whatever you need to do.
The trees are the guardians of the earth, just so you know.
They are. I mean, and I tell you, they listen to me. And, you know, we had a fire not very far from here, you guys. I don't know if I don't think I talked about it in my group even. But a few of my close friends knew, and they were texting me saying, are you okay? And it was only like 34 miles away from us, a big, huge fire. And not that I want anyone to have any devastation from any fire, but I went out and I talked to Victoria, the big tree out front, and I said, and I always tell her to protect us, this whole bubble of all of us around. There's just a few neighbors around that I try to protect all of us, actually. And she said, don't worry about it. You're good. And guess what? I came back in, the wind shifted and it went in a different direction. And now it's just pasture land. No one's getting affected except for maybe some pastures, which is terrible, but there's no lives being lost in this fire. And I'm just so grateful. And I'm telling you, I feel like there's a protective bubble around us now.
Yeah, the trees will protect you. The earth will protect you. Yes. Your house will protect you.
Yes.
All you have to do is learn to talk to these things
and
exchange communication and energy with them. And the more you respect them and love them, they will respect and love you back.
That's so true.
They're just waiting for us.
That's true. It's like your guides or anything else. You just have to ask.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my
exactly.
gosh. Well, Ginger, tell everybody where they can contact you if they would like any service from you. Like, I know you do energy healing. I know you do psychic work. I know you can channel. Tell them where they can find you.
Well, lots of people are already on TikTok. On TikTok, I am Red Apple Witch. The screen name will be Ginger.
Okay.
And my website is redapplemagic.net, and magic has a K in it.
Okay.
It's
okay.
M-A-G-I-C-K.
Perfect.
So redapplemagic.net.
Perfect. And I will add all of the information in the show notes, as you all know. And Ginger, thank you again for being on the podcast. It's such short notice. We talked this morning and you came on, and I'm so happy I got to talk to you.
I know. I love that we just did this last second, and it was awesome. I love talking to you. I'll do this anytime.
Well, I love providing Because I Want to Know at no cost. So if you like what you heard, please leave me a 5-star review, or you can just buy me a cup of coffee. It's kind of like a Patreon, but you don't have a monthly subscription and you can give whatever you feel led to give. I am a one-woman show and I do all of my scheduling and my interviewing and my editing. So just know your support is so greatly appreciated. And one more thing, I am a paranormal romance novelist, and you can find all of my books on Amazon. Just look up my name. I'm very easy to find. Thank you guys again, and I will see you next week.